the world of coffee is very dramatic. It's very intricate. It's not, it's funny, like, you know about Starbucks, you know about Dunkin' Donuts, but you don't know about all these little coffee houses and all these little, not just coffee shops, but like, it's like a microbrewery, you know, except for coffee. Mm-hmm. But I'll let Tim explain it better than I will, because our friend Tim from Triple Coffee is here, and that's, he could explain it better. So Tim, here's why I wanted to have you on the show tonight, because I am a sustainable coffee girl. Like I like the precious coffees. Mm-hmm. I like things that are a little more, you know, off the beaten path. And but most people know, they know Starbucks, they know Dunkin' Donuts, you know, and they know McDonald's coffee. So the way I usually explain it to people, it's like, yeah, you can totally go to McDonald's and get a hamburger, or you can go to Peter Luger's and get a steak. So I feel like the type of coffee that your lot does is a little more like the steak of coffee. Is that a fair way to explain it?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, the Grey Goose of coffee. No, Grey Goose is crap. Maybe more like a Macallan 18 or something like that. Yeah, definitely top shelf.
As a roaster, you roast beans for other people or just for Triple Coffee? Or like, how do you do?
The way that coffee normally goes from like the farm to like your latte, there's like a lot of intermediaries, right? Like there's like the grower, then there's the exporter, and then maybe there's like a broker in
between. I'm sorry, Anthony just thought grower and shower. I saw it in his eyes when you said grower.
No, I saw
exactly what just happened over there. I'm just saying. So there you go. You got into our narrative.
Yeah,
go ahead. So there's all these different people.
Think about it like weed, right? So there's like growers, and
right,
then there's like, there's all these like layers, right, in the supply chain, and everyone wants their cut. And so like a lot of like value gets eaten up, a lot of money gets eaten up from point A to like point B where you like drink your coffee. So, what I've realized is that like, and a lot of people have realized that, that like, it doesn't need to be that way. Like you can actually, like what I'm doing, you can travel to Central America, you can network just as you would at like a professional conference, like whatever radio conference or I don't know, the Emmys or whatever,
mm-hmm,
network a little, kiss a little butt. And then you find some amazing coffee producers. And so then you're like working directly with the coffee producer, and there's less middlemen like eating up money, right? So then what that means is that like I can pay better prices to coffee farmers. And then also like I know exactly where the coffee comes from. Like if I want like really, really good coffee, actually it's much better to come to the country where it's grown, because it's hard to find these unique coffees back home in the US. So I deal directly with farmers, so I give them better prices. And then on the other end, I sell directly to consumers. And so then like, I don't work with distributors, like other middlemen that would like kind of take my coffee and then put it in stores or something, because they want their cut. And so like, I don't want to give anyone my cut. Like I want my cut.
Mm-hmm.
So I sell directly to consumers. But like directly to consumers, like that means like directly to normal people, right? Like that's a very like challenging business model, because there are a lot of roasters, right? As I mentioned before. So the competition is stiff, and I have to kind of like compete to get people's attention. And so then this is why, like, when I kind of like, I come from a tech background and I worked in like big companies for many years and then just got tired of that. Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about like starting my own business, like a very smart person that I know from San Francisco told me like, okay, fine. You want to work on your own business? Like find a niche, because if you don't have a niche, then you're just competing against other people, and like that's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So then that's what I started working on, like finding my own niche.
Can somebody roast a cheap bean and get a good taste out of it just the way they roast it?
No, because cheap beans. So then let's talk about the difference between specialty coffee, which Cooper is like very familiar with.
Yeah, she knows all about that.
Yeah, she knows her stuff. and then like commodity coffee, like what you would get on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
So like the big difference there is that like, commodity coffee, let's just start there. Like, I mean, you have to imagine like coffee is grown on trees. It's actually like a cherry. And then what we end up drinking are the pits of the cherry. So the pits are taken out of the cherry. That's baked in a roaster. You grind it and then you brew it. And that's what we drink.
Mm-hmm.
So like commodity coffee is basically like, you know, it's like defective stuff. It's like coffee that was like eaten up by insects.
It's like the irregular sweater of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the discount bin.
Totally. Yeah. Like it's, well, maybe you want to find that, right? Like you want those jeans that have like that tear, like, oh, I'll just sew that up. But
no, I don't hate myself that much.
So that's like commodity coffee. It's just like it could be like overripe, it could be underripe. And so then like if you roast it as though it was specialty coffee, then you're going to taste a lot of defects. Like it's going to taste like sour, it's going to taste bitter, maybe like dirty socks or something.
Mm-hmm.
So then like the way that you cover that up is by burning the coffee. So like you just roast the living hell out of that coffee, and then it just tastes like burnt coffee.
Oh, and yeah. I've had that experience where I'm somewhere and I can't get to like one of my favorite coffee places because I'm, you know, somewhere in the Midwest or somewhere where they just don't have that. And I end up at one of the more popular places and I'm like, ooh, this tastes burnt. Well, that explains it because it actually is burnt.
It is burned, and they burn it to cover up defects. Or the other thing too is that, I mean, like it's also like a quality control thing because, you know, like in wine, there's vintages, right? Like,
right.
Like a Bordeaux this year tastes different than a Bordeaux that year. And, so then like to cover up those differences, you also just burn the hell out of the coffee because guess what? No matter what year, burnt coffee is going to taste like burnt coffee.
Right.
But then like burnt coffee tastes bad. So then what do you do? Well, then you cover that up with some like cream and some sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what we've been drinking for like hundreds of years.
Right. Right.
Here's
my big issue. This is my one question. So yeah. I'm not fancy. You know, I'm not, once in a while, I'll go out someplace where, you know, if somebody else is paying, I'll let them take me someplace expensive, whatever. Here's my big issue. So I'm taken to a very nice restaurant, right? When they serve you the salad, it's like, you know, some like special baby, whatever, lettuce. And, you know, then you get your fish or whatever you're eating. And it's like freshly caught, whatever, in some special place. And it has all these precious little things all over it. And then, you know, they give you the dessert menu and it's just like, oh, this, we made an ice cream out of, you know, this rare mint we found in the desert. Or, you know, it's always some like exotic thing. Would you like some coffee with that? I would. And then I ask, what kind of coffee? And it's like Lavazza. It's like, wait a second. So you thought of my entire meal from beginning to almost end, but you didn't even bother to maybe go to triple coffee or black and white or even, I mean, put some thought into the coffee. We're such a coffee culture now. How do these expensive restaurants not even consider the coffee as the experience at the end, the way they consider the wine list? Like that's more important.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is this idea of like high-end coffee is relatively new. But I mean, trust, it's going to change. It's going to take like a few more years. But I mean, like think about like, French champagne. I mean, all it is like sparkling wine, which, you know, like we have amazing sparkling wines in California or wherever, even Australia, but the French, like the people from Champagne, they were savvy with the marketing, right?
Right.
And they were like, oh, champagne, champagne. And then they set up like their, they're like, oh, like only, you can only call champagne what's grown here. And no one else can call it champagne. And so, but that was like, you know, like early 1900s. So like those people have a head start.
Wow. That was some good marketing. It's still, I mean, we still drink champagne and think it's better than everything else now.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, it is kind of good, you know. Well,
how,
you
point. How do you train then the Americans like me who only drink Keurig? How do you move us from where we are now, and I'll just grab whatever is at work and put it in the Keurig machine? How do you change my taste from that to something better?
I mean, dude, like that's the billion dollar question. Mm-hmm. And I have like a lot of experience with this because I do, like basically I do a lot of like coffee tastings. So that's kind of like my line of business right now, because of the pandemic, like companies reach out to me to, for me to like do like virtual coffee tastings with their employees. And so I send samples of like my like high end top shelf stuff to like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like basically I think like, I mean, coffee's kind of a religion, to be honest. Like in the Bay Area, like a lot of the older people, they're really stuck on Pete's Coffee because like Pete started in Berkeley. Before that, people were just drinking like Maxwell's Sanka. Folgers.
It was Sanka before that. Sanka and Folgers. So, yeah. But see, yeah. That's a step up. So Sanka and Folgers, now at least they went to Pete's, which is a coffee as opposed to just something
flavor
in the can.
Crystals.
Yeah. What was that international one? That one that they used to have commercials when we were like children. I remember my mother and her friends used to drink it. It was like, she was like, don't touch that. It has caffeine. Because, you know, because the flavors were like all these like mint and chocolate. And I was like, yummy. And she was like, don't touch that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think, but conversations like this, and I think people need to know that when you go to like these specialty coffee houses, like, you know, I go to a place around here called Everyman, and the coffee is the same price as Starbucks. So it's not like I'm paying twice as much, so why would I do that? No, I'm supporting a small business. And I think now it's really important to support people like you, Tim, and small businesses and specialty roasters, because it's not such a different price point that it's a deterrent, but the flavor you get and the enjoyment, if you really love coffee, like I can't imagine opening up a can of Folgers in 2021 and saying you love coffee.
I mean, if you go to Facebook, you find a lot of those people. Like there's these really weird like coffee groups on Facebook where people post their like Folgers every morning, like super proud. I'm like, dude, you're weird. Like, that's so bizarre. But yeah, I mean, like it's kind of like you taste it, either it clicks or it doesn't. And that's really
right. What
it comes down to. Like, I think like you just like our job as people in like the specialty coffee industry is to try to expose as many people as possible to like, you know, coffee that doesn't require cream and sugar. It's like coffee that's been like harvested at like exactly the right moment. It needs to be harvested, like kind of like treated super well, like as it's like kind of dried, and then like, and then treated super well, like when it's roasted, which is, you know, like my number one priority.
Right.
And then at that point, like you offer someone coffee and they're like, wow, they're either like, wow, I don't need to add cream and sugar to this. Or they're like, nah, it's not for me. I need cream and sugar.
But at least getting them to try, which is why I wanted to have you on the show. Cause I wanted people to know that, you know, if you're someone like me, that's like a coffee person, there's other types of coffee out there and that you should try. Start to experiment and try some other stuff. Thank you so much, Tim. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your time. And thank you for having this conversation with us, because it's one of those things that just like, you know, I like to let people know things that I'm into, and I'm into coffee, you know, but I'm into the kind of coffee you do and the kind of coffee people like you do. So And you're not sponsoring the show. You're not being paid to be here. We're not paying you. You're not paying us. You're literally just somebody I met on Instagram. I thought you were super cool. I liked your whole vibe. And I wanted you to explain to people what a roaster does. And you have. And I appreciate that.
Not, well, you know, ultimately, I just like good things. Like, this all started with like my like interest in good wine. Like, I love good wines.
So what was the first coffee you drank and went, uh-oh, this is different?
That's a good question. It was like this Puerto Rican coffee that at some point was served at the Vatican in Rome. And then like I tasted it and it was just like, it was like a caffeine rush, but it was like super sweet at the same time. Like, I just knew this was different.
Right.
And
right.
So then like it was brought to me by a friend from Puerto Rico. And so I was like, what's going on here? And she was like, well, my aunt harvests the coffee by hand, like every morning. And like, she picks the cherries like at the perfect ripeness.
Wow.
And then she like treats it like this. And then I was like, holy shit, that's the difference. Like,
right.
If you just like start like at the right point, then like everything just kind of follows.
So Tim, thank you so much for your time. And we can find you at Triple Coffee on Instagram.
Yeah, Triple Coffee, triple.coffee on Instagram. Or if you Google Triple Coffee, that's the best way to find us.